This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
If you turned away, you'd miss it. Here's the game for 10 seconds. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg is brought to you by Wendy's. Seth, you're being brought to everyone by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year.
I think if you play that game 10 times, Baylor wins 9 of them. That's how good they are.
One thing I can tell you about our guys, though, when the best is needed, the best is usually provided. And as RG3 would always say, no pressure, no diamonds.
Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball analyst, two-time ACC Coach of the Year on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Coach, you told me before the game, one thing about Baylor is they got more guys who can go get their own shot than Gonzaga. That certainly played itself out. They could get their own shot. They forced turnovers. They dominated the offensive glass. They were clearly the better team. How did Baylor do it?
Max, they did it three ways. They did it dominating the glass, they did it with their defense, and they did it with the three-ball shot. I mean, it was really that simple. I mean, they were more athletic, more physical, tougher, probably more competitive in that moment in time, but the defense was ridiculous. And think about the first play of the game, Max. First play of the game, Baylor gets the ball, comes down, misses, rebounds it, puts it in. That was like sending a message. It was like sending a message to Gonzaga, like, you haven't seen anyone like us.
Coach,
and that message ended up with a 9-0 run.
Yeah, Coach, are you calling me from a tornado? What is going on over there?
Max, I'm calling you from the Gulf.
Of course you are.
It's a little windy here in Avon, Connecticut.
Yes, of course you are.
I've got a very big shot coming up right now.
Yeah, of course you're on the golf course. The busiest time of year for you just passed. You're already on vacation, and yet you come and do the Max Kellerman Show. I appreciate it. Coach, one thing that struck me was when you had, like, their level. So you have talent, okay? Someone has talent. Baylor has a lot of really good athletes, right? Raw talent, that's your capacity to do something. Skill is what you develop, takes discipline over time. But then individuals can have skill, and the Baylor team seems to be full of talented and skillful players. But to come together as a group on both ends of the floor, play unselfish offense, and be so connected on defense is a testament to not only the players but the coach. What do you think of the job done at Baylor this year?
It's incredible. Scott, just think about the job he did big picture. We all know the story when he took over the job, one of the greatest tragedies in college athletics, really. Former coach Dave Bliss was fired. He covered up a murder, basically. I mean, you think about that. And Scott Drew brought a positive attitude, never looked back, never got discouraged, smile on his face every day, coaching his tail off. And you hit a great point, Max. You really, really did. I mean, getting those guys to trust each other, buy into each other, taking four transfers, Davion Mitchell from Auburn, Macy O'Teague from Asheville, Adam Flagler from Presbyterian, and Jonathan Chamochachua, and making a team and getting trust and getting to compete defensively, getting to compete offensively, getting it to share the ball, that's the essence of coaching. That's yep. What coaching is all about. And, like, I can't say enough about the job to get those kids to play so hard defensively and so unselfish offensively. Man, I'll tell you one thing. I was sitting watching that game and said, you know what? That's coaching.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
Takes one to know one. Two-time ACC Coach of the Year, Seth Greenberg, ESPN College Basketball Analyst on the Year on the Goodyear Hotline, on the line on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Seth, it's not to take anything away from Mark Few, who took over, like, was an assistant at a mid-major program, and for this entire century, basically, has overseen the development into a perennial powerhouse. Mark Few deserves all the praise he's been given. So does the Gonzaga program. But when we look back at this season, really, isn't it the Baylor story? Like, we were telling the story of Gonzaga, but you just brought it up with Scott Drew. You know, looking back, it really is the story of Baylor and the job that Coach did. They got into the Final Four and totally destroyed everything. There were no contests. The Final Four opponent and the Finals opponent, no contest for these guys.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the deal. I mean, and it's real simple. I'll tell you what Scott Drew did. We don't even talk about it enough. Is they went on pause for 3 weeks. They didn't go on pause for contact pause. They went on pause because they had the virus.
Right.
So when they came out of the pause, all of a sudden, they were not themselves. They didn't guard. They weren't like, when you come out of the virus, you're not as active, you're not as alert, you're not in the same condition, and you're not as connected. And they struggled a little bit. And we said, you know what? Could Baylor get back? Well, when they got knocked out of the Big 12 tournament, you know what they went back to? Fundamentals. Why would you ever leave the fundamentals? I don't know exactly what the fundamentals of, you know, the media is. You guys better understand it. I'm just a final basketball coach, but like they went back to the fundamentals, and the fundamentals were closing out, being connected, making the extra pass, sitting in a stance. So when they got knocked out of that tournament, instead of preparing for the next game, which you get caught up in doing because they played so many games after they had the virus, they got back to working on Baylor basketball. Does that make sense?
Coach, I agree. Listen, I think about it from the point of view of Baylor, right? And of a player on the team. Last year, they may have been the best team in the country. No tournament. But everyone, well, Gonzaga's better. This year, well, they're really good, but Gonzaga's better. They win in a couple of blowouts, including one over the Zags. And now the odds makers have already posted odds for next season. Gonzaga's favored again, and Baylor is in second in terms of the odds. Like, they just did maybe that locker room next year a favor.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Baylor's going to be good. Gonzaga's going to be really good. They're going to probably get Chet Holmgren, one of the best high school players in the country. They already signed one of the best two guards in the country. They're going to get Nembhard back. They could get Timmy back. They're going to get Watson back. They're going to lose Kispert. They're going to lose Suggs. Mark Few's always going to be good. But Baylor's always going to be good also because I think he's got a formula of how to win. Here's his formula. High school guys, transfers that fit into his culture, and international players. And if you look what that Scott's been able to do, and now with the transfer portal, those guys aren't going to recruit transfers. They're going to select transfers. Because let's face it, you watch those two teams play, Max, you know, like, Gonzaga is aesthetically fun to watch play.
Yep.
Baylor's fun to watch play. So those guys aren't going anywhere. But you know what? Kentucky's going to be back. Duke's going to be back. I really think that Mike Woodson's going to do a great job at Indiana. College basketball, I'll tell you, we're not going anywhere. And I think Gonzaga and that game and that getting through this season, let's be honest. Get through this season. Think about it. Last year, the only major sporting event that wasn't played was the NCAA tournament. Masters was played. Super Bowl
World
was played.
World Series
was played. NBA playoffs, champions were played. We didn't have college basketball.
Yeah.
Just getting through this season, man, let me tell you something. Something else. So I'm so excited about the future. I'm so excited we got through this season. I'm so proud of the players, coaches, administrators, and everyone involved in the enterprise. It's been great. And I could get ready to go right back at it again.
All right.
That means
Coach,
I can kind of hang out with you guys.
Right. In the meantime, you go back to your golf game. I know you're
– I got about 180 yards. I'm trying to hit a 4-iron. This might not work that well.
Yeah. Coach, thanks for jumping on.
Thanks, man.
It's windy in Avon today. Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball analyst on the Max Kellerman Show. He joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
Breaking news from ESPN's Adam Schefter. The Jets are trading quarterback Sam Darnold to the Panthers.
So what does today's move mean for Carolina?
What it means is that Sam Darnold is going to be their starting quarterback. They're going to pick up the fifth-year option.
Carolina sending a 2021 sixth-round pick, a second and a fourth in next year, a second and a fourth, to the Jets for the 23-year-old Sam Darnold. Don't forget, Sam Darnold's not a rookie. So he's been in the league 3 years. Over that time, he's been by far dead last worst starting quarterback in football. If you were worse than Sam Darnold, you weren't a starter. You're a backup. And in fact, he should have been a backup by the numbers, right? But, okay, he has upside. We understand he's in a bad situation with the Jets culture and Adam Gase and all that stuff. If he plays well, the Panthers have to decide, are we going to pay him? And then what are we going to pay him? Like, it's not like, you know, the rookie clock has been ticking for 3 years. We're in year four with this guy coming up. That's not the Jets. The Jets restart the rookie clock with a guy who, to my eye, has more talent than Sam Darnold. I think Zach Wilson has more arm talent than Sam Darnold. And you're resetting the clock with him. 5 years you get. So, like, look, you also, it's like, you know, not just had the two draft picks in the first round this year and the two next year, but you add a second round pick. I want to say this off the top of my head, the Jets now have, it's hard to keep track. In the next 13 months, they will be selecting in the first round four times, in the second round three times, in the third round three times, and in the fourth round three times. It could be more than that. I have to go look. They're going to put, you know, you can find an offensive lineman who can play in the third round, right? You can. The Jets are going to be loaded, loaded. And Robert Saleh, look, he was the guy I wanted the Giants to get. One of the guys. I was like, oh, he looks pretty good. And the Jets seem to have the right coach. Things are looking up for them. I think they won the trade. Darnold could turn out to be excellent with Joe Brady. I get it. It's possible. Baker Mayfield really came on when he had a good coach and some stability. Went from, you know, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen all come out together, right? Baker Mayfield's drafted number one overall. He had the best college numbers. But, you know, it's not like he set the world on fire even when he played well in spots early. He had four head coaches within just about 2 years, a little bit over 2 years. When he got some stability in a good situation, he played much better. But does Baker look like the kind of quarterback that's going to win you a Super Bowl? Josh Allen, more raw talent than either Baker or Sam Darnold, has been in a situation with stability, weapons, the whole thing, and every year gets better. Like a 1-to-1 TD to interception ratio, more or less. All of a sudden, it's 2-to-1. Now it's 3-to-1. Is he an MVP caliber player? Like three seasons of development. He had the most upside in terms of his talent of those three guys, and he had the most stable situation, and he's developed. How about Sam Darnold? Maybe he has more talent than Baker Mayfield. He's more height than Baker Mayfield. Maybe he does. But are you know, does he... Quarterback play is tough. Like, what about the nuances in terms of how quickly he goes through his progressions, how quickly he makes decisions, and then delivers the ball accurately? Can he be a quarterback? Now, that starts in the league? I can believe that. I think it's under 50-50 he's a long-term starter. But I could also, if someone said, would it surprise you if he was a very good starter for a number of years? I would say no. No, I could see that. But the kind of quarterback who can help you win a Super Bowl? People point to Tannehill. I like Tannehill a lot. If you had to improve one thing about Tennessee to try to win the Super Bowl, not just compete for it, might it not be the quarterback? Same thing with the Browns. I'm not knocking Baker. I'm not knocking Tannehill. But you can't wish Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady into existence. They really have to exist. Mel Kiper. Boy, he thinks I'm wrong. He loves Sam Darnold. Listen, he gave the Panthers an A-plus for getting Darnold. They could have just taken Justin Fields, it looks like. With that pick, reset the rookie clock for a guy who may be more talented, was a bigger deal coming out of high school for sure. And by the way, Darnold always turned the ball over, always like high highs, but, you know, inconsistent, even in college. Listen to Mel Kiper Jr. on, friend of the show, on this deal for the Jets and Panthers.
For a team that drafts well, has really good scouts, the Jets do, it's good for them. And for the Carolina Panthers, hey, they weren't going to get, the way it looked, Deshaun Watson with what's going on there. Russell Wilson wasn't going to play there. It wasn't one of the four teams they talked about going to. And then you look at the draft, picking eighth. Good luck. Three of the quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3. The fourth one could go fourth to Atlanta. Then you get to the fifth guy and somebody could trade up to get him and maybe be gone all five before the eighth pick. So for Carolina, I think it's a great move for them. Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, Sam Darnold, only 23 years of age. I said all along, you put him in this draft, he would have been the second pick, in my opinion. If you want to say the third or fourth pick, that's fine. But Sam Darnold, I think, is an outstanding addition to that Carolina Panther football team.
Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, I disagree with Mel. Maybe he'd be the third or fourth pick in this draft if he was a rookie coming in, but given the fact that he's already entering his fourth season, and that has implications in terms of contract and everything, he would, in my view, absolutely be out of the top five. Because you have to factor all those things in if you're a GM. Who's going to trade up? Like, if the Falcons want to take, say, Trey Lance, you think the Bengals are trading down? Trading out of that pick? When they can get the best offensive lineman in the draft to protect Joe Burrow? Maybe? It looks to me like Justin Fields is going to be there. But, okay, Panthers would rather have Sam Darnold and give up their, with a decision that, like, who has not worked out so far, but if he does, you're going to have to pay him pretty much right away and not have your fourth or your second pick round, your second or your fourth round pick next year or your sixth round pick this year than Justin Fields. I wouldn't have done that, but okay. Also, you think Sam Darnold's going to get snatched up that fast? I don't know. To me, it seems like you could have waited. I don't know how hot the market was for Darnold right now. Apparently not too hot if it was just a second of a fourth next year, not even this year. Mike in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
I think everybody's a winner in this trade, truthfully. I think Carolina gets a quarterback who has a lot of upside, just hasn't been able to show it in the system. I think that the Jets are going to pick Wilson, and they're going to be able to put a lot of pieces around him, like you said earlier in the show. And I think that Wilson is a winner because he's going to have all these pieces. I mean, he's going to be able to be a rookie and in the coming years keep having different guys that can make a difference on the team. And I think we're going to see a big, big push from the Jets in the coming years. And I think we're going to see a much more talented team.
I agree. Listen, you hope it works out for both teams. But I'd rather be the Jets than the Panthers right now by a whole lot. If I could start again, rookie clock starts ticking now on Zach Wilson. And in addition to that pick, in the next 13 months, I have 3 firsts, 3 seconds, and 3 thirds. That's 9 picks in the first 3 rounds, the next 2 drafts. Oh, I'll tell you what. I mean, it's not like the Jets don't have any offensive linemen or anyone in their front 7. If you need to add a total, you know, of between among those, let's say, 12 players in your front 7 on defense and your offensive line on offense, you need to add 6 outstanding players. You should be able to do that in the next 2 drafts just on picks to go with Zach Wilson and address skills position guys. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, Mike Woodson at Indiana, Patrick Ewing at Georgetown, Hubert Davis at North Carolina.
That's right.
Penny Hardaway at Memphis. Mm-hmm. 4 pretty good basketball schools, all former Knicks. Mm. Then throw in Scott Brooks, Rick Carlisle, and Billy Donovan in the pros. Knicks are a breeding ground for pro coaches and college coaches.
Yeah, I mean, Penny Hardaway, you don't really associate him with the Knicks, let's be honest. I mean, at one point or another, you can play the game, Richard, where it's like, had they ever played for that franchise? Oh, they're on the Knicks coaching tree or something, but it's not really the way it works. You want to say Hubert Davis, Patrick Ewing? Yes, definitely. 1 or 2 others? Okay. You could probably do that, I imagine, with a lot of teams. But I was happy to see Hubert Davis get the job. Look, back in the day, Hubert Davis could shoot the lights out. Like, just about 50% from 3. Didn't take a whole lot of them, although by the standards of that era, he took enough of them. But, like, nice to see him get the North Carolina job, invested in that institution, and as they invested in him, and he's succeeding Roy Williams, who more or less succeeded, you know, with a little 5-6 year gap. Dean Smith, when we talk about the paucity of African-American coaches in the, you know, head coaches in the coaching ranks, the highest level of college of the pros, and here's Hubert Davis getting the job, so happy for him. And of course, I'm happy for Patrick Ewing, especially at Georgetown. It was a perfect fit, and they seem to overachieve to get into the tournament this year. You miss any of the Max Kellerman Show? You would have heard me fall for Raj's trick where he writes Aaron Donald, and I say it, and I don't even realize I meant Aaron Rodgers. You could hear that scintillating part of the show. Oh, did we have fun? We laughed, and there was real camaraderie and a jovial atmosphere was enjoyed by all. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. L.A. injury issues aren't the only issues for the Lakers. Plus, hear who the Los Angeles Lakers just signed. Do you hear my computer career ads and think, I don't know anything about computers? You don't have to. Before starting, many graduates could turn a computer on and off, yes, but that's it. That's all they could do. Now they're IT pros. You could do it too. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It ain't rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Up next, hear who the Lakers just signed for the rest of the season. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Yo, L.A., West ain't waiting around for the Lakers. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Think the Jets got enough for the former number three overall pick? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Dave McMenamin reports, our very own. Ben McLemore will sign with the Lakers for the remainder of the season. Sources confirmed to ESPN. The 8-year veteran has shot 40% or better from three in his last two full seasons. He's not shooting well this year, 33%, not getting a ton of minutes. But he's represented by Rich Paul of Clutch Sports. So, oh, it's so great when your team has got the inside track with Clutch. Come on, LeBron and Rich Paul start funneling guys your way. Let me tell you something. Ben McLemore is, he's not a great defender, but he's built like a defender. He's capable of playing defense. And he's normally a very good outside shooter, although not this year. So there are some guys, I'll sometimes tell you, they're not just 3-and-D in name. They're actually really good defensively and actually really good from the outside. I think that Phoenix has guys like that. You watch Mikal Bridges or Cam Johnson play, you go, yep, those are 3-and-D guys I'd like on my team, right? Ben McLemore is not a 3-and-D guy whose skills are pitched high by the standards of the, like, elite 3-and-D guys. But he's a legitimate NBA player who is capable of defending and capable of hitting from the outside, and you got him in the buyout market, and he had to clear waivers. And you're capped out. That's a good job by the Lakers. They just got deeper. They got an extra body. They need him now, and they could probably use him come playoff time. Now, let's talk about playoff time. How much trouble are the Lakers in? The seven other teams in the West that are playoff teams, right? They're really 10 playoff teams now because 7, 8, and 9, 10 play a play-in series thing or a couple playing games. The seven other legit, like, playoff teams who can avoid the playing game have won 53 of their last 70. Think about that for a second. 53 of 70. So what is that? 10 and then the multiple, you divide 53 by 7. I want to tell you it's every bit of, close to 80% of their games. Close to 80% of their games. The rest of, now, think of, it's not just that the record. Look at the names. You just saw it on ESPN Plus. The Jazz, Suns, Clippers, Nuggets, Lakers. Sorry. Jazz, Suns, Clippers, Nuggets, Blazers, Mavericks, and Grizz. Now, I'm not worried about the Grizz at all. But Jazz, Suns, Clippers, Nuggets could all win the championship this year. Any one of those teams could go win all. You know, like the Lakers and the Nets would have to be a little hurt, but any one of those four teams could win the chip this year. Blazers, I'm not so sure. And the Mavericks, I'm not so sure anymore. But maybe. That's a whole lot of for the Lakers. Here's the thing, though. As long as AD and LeBron come back healthy, I don't care if the Lakers have the 10th best record in the conference. They are not losing a play-in series or game to the Spurs or who would it be? The Grizz or the Warriors. That ain't going to happen. They're going to crush one of those teams. And look, well, but then they have to go right into a series against an elite team. There's no avoiding that. There are six other teams. You might say, yeah, maybe they could win a championship. Six in the conference. You're going to have to play minimum two of them. Minimum. Maybe three of them to get to the finals. Who cares who you have to play first? The Jazz, Suns. Like, let's say, first series you have to play is against the Utah Jazz. Is that really much worse than playing the Suns first? Or the Clippers first? Or the Nuggets first? You don't get to play the Blazers or the Mavericks, but I don't know that those teams are much worse than the other teams I just mentioned. What difference does it make, really? Look, is it better for the Lakers to have a better record, play a lower seed, and have time to develop chemistry? Yes, it is. But I don't think this will have a material effect on their title chances if they're healthy. The only thing that will really affect the Lakers' title chances, I believe, in the end, will be the health of the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think the Lakers can beat them if Brooklyn's healthy. The Nets looked too good too fast. And look, the Lakers have two of those superhero guys. The Nets have three. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. By the way, the Astros, the Houston Astros, have the nerve to have a request of the fans. Dusty Baker and the Houston Astros would like something of the fans who threw an inflatable garbage can onto the field. Still angry about the sign-stealing scandal when the Astros cheated their way to a World Series over my beloved 2017 Yankee squad. And by the way, I'm telling you right now, had the Astros not cheated, Yankees-Dodgers probably would have played for the World Series. Anyway, coming up, I'm going to get into that. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Last take next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can get in on Last Take, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Last Take is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today. 877-ASK-DELL.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Trash can tossed onto the field as the Astros are jeered in L.A. Fans' animosity was on full display during Monday's game at Angel Stadium. By the way, those fans are nice, too. You know, go to Anaheim, it's like, you know, a very family-friendly atmosphere. Boy, the Astros show up. First chance of the Dodgers and, you know, Angels get to boo the Astros since their sign-stealing scandal came to light. Jose Altuve at bat in the sixth inning, a trash can was heaved over the right field scoreboard and landed on the warning track. Quote, I mean, you could tell the amount of hostility and hatred in the stands, Houston manager Dusty Baker, who had nothing to do with the scandal, wasn't there, he's there to clean things up, really, Dusty Baker said. Quote, you know, you can't let that bother you. You have to channel it. You can't let that scarlet letter around all your life. Carry that scarlet letter around all your life. I mean, we paid the price. No. No, Dusty, you haven't. Now, Dusty Baker had nothing to do with this. I get it. But it's not for him to say that they've paid the price. They have not. First of all, those no-good cheaters who cheated the Yankees out of a World Series appearance. Pretty obviously, the Yankees would have beaten them. The Astros won 2-1 and 2-1 at Houston, where they were cheating, using technology to steal signs so they know what were coming, and still barely beat the Yankees in one-run games. The Yankees then took them to the Bronx and beat the brakes off them. Slapped them silly in the Bronx. No competition. Three straight games. Then they go back to the cheating Astros home field and get cheated out of two more games. The Dodgers know what that's like, too. Robbed the world of a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. Anyway, fans are mad, Dusty. Skip, the fans are mad. And last year was COVID. Yo, there was no fans in the stands. No, they got booed. Oh, boo-hoo, you got booed. Hey, Astros, shut up. Shut all the way up. When the fans are good. Now, let me say this to the Astros players and to fans. You can't throw objects on the field. You throw objects at an Astros player, that's assault, brother. That's a criminal act. I'm totally with Astros players, Dusty Baker, if it's an unsafe environment physically, if hard objects are being thrown, but an inflatable trash can, give me a break. I know they threw both. The trash can's out of bounds, can't do it. But the inflatable trash can, get used to it, Astros. Or don't get used to it. Because for people like me who are mad at you for cheating my team, we don't want you to get used to it. We want it to hurt every time. I mean, you cheat people out of their rightful due, and then cry about it like babies because we already got booed for a year by like the few fans in the stands. Now we're still getting booed. That's right. When the fans are good and ready to stop booing you, they'll stop booing you. Until then, shut up. Doug, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how are you?
Good, Doug.
Hey, first of all, thank you for, I'm a first-time caller. I'm a big fan. You had my dear lifelong friend, Chuck D, do some things for you recently. And I'll just tell you, we're from the most famous one square mile on the planet. Dr. J on the corner, John Mackey, Howard Stern around the block, Eddie Murphy and Charlie across the street. I'm from Roosevelt, Long Island. And
Roosevelt's no joke. Roosevelt's no joke. I grew up downtown in Greenwich Village, so I give you some burn. But go ahead. Roosevelt's okay, no joke, right?
Listen. I'm giving you the ball because Chuck did the show. I just talked to him yesterday.
You just listed some heavy hitters out of Roosevelt. It's crazy. What's in the water?
Listen, yeah. I didn't go off Shirley Ralph, Aaron Hall. Come on,
ridiculous.
I keep going.
Yeah, you can. You can. Roosevelt's no joke. Yeah.
But anyway, I love the show. I wanted to talk a little bit about Timmy. He's an interesting player. I mean, he could be a solid, kind of off-the-bench pro in this new small ball era. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I'd like to just say I'm so happy the Knicks are on that trajectory because this was the first time they were set up. And I'm biased because I'm Steve Mills' younger brother. So This is the first time they were set up to have space and opportunity. And I also played at St. Agnes with Billy Donovan. So it's really kind of a cool little network I have.
Let me tell you, Doug from Long Island, I am not happy for the Knicks. And let me tell you why. The Knicks are a hardworking team. They seem to have the right people in place and all that. Dolan, I cannot bring myself to root for the team while that miserable guy owns the team. A fish rots from the head down, and the Knicks have a rotten fish head. That's what we're dealing with. Even though the team is going well, everyone's feeling good, maybe they can get a superstar, he has a fan removed by security. Because he's wearing a Ben Dolan shirt. How thin-skinned. You would think someone would have the self-awareness that if their daddy did everything, handed them as an inheritance the Knicks, they would know that they were born on third base and didn't and not think they hit a triple. Right? But this dude goes around acting like he did something and throws fans out of the stands for wearing a Ben Dolan shirt, kicks Charles Oakley out of the Garden. Doug, shame on you for rooting for this team.
You know, he's still a number one Knicks fan. And so it's just, you understand, you in these positions, Matt, you're a popular sports host. It's going to take some tomatoes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Listen, Doug, I appreciate the call. I agree with you about Roosevelt. And what else can I tell you? I can't bring myself to root for the Knicks as long as Dolan owns the team. And I would urge no one to root for the Knicks until Dolan sells the team. And then go back to rooting for the Knicks. By the way, you have a choice in New York. Root for the Nets. They're 100,000 times better. Joshua in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max. I just want to say about James Harden. I like him. I respect him as a ball player, but I don't think he's like a big three star because he hasn't really showed me nothing in the playoffs.
Well, I'm with you there.
Season, he has, but not in the playoffs.
I'm with you there about the playoffs, but just because he hasn't done it yet doesn't mean he's incapable of doing it. And what I'm seeing from him in the regular season right now is a level of play few have ever achieved in any sport. He has been absolutely outstanding. I mean, over the last 5-6 years, but especially this year, he's been amazing. And you're right. He hadn't done anything. He's consistently worse in the playoffs than he normally is. But I'll tell you this. That gap between his regular season and playoff performance is shrinking. In other words, year over year, he does better and better in the playoffs. And I'm rooting for him that one of these days he'll put it all together and be the same James Harden in the playoffs he is in the regular season. And I'll tell you what, when that happens, the Nets win a chip. And there's a very good chance, if they're healthy, they do that right now. If Durant and Harden and Kyrie are all on the court healthy together, I don't think there's any stopping them. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Shanahan Golic Jr. coming up. Peace.